Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're tackling a really interesting legal puzzle, one where actions, or maybe even inaction, can speak louder than words.
That's right. We're talking about how sometimes silence can actually end up costing you money.
Exactly. We're diving into the classic case of Davy Caton. That's a fantastic illustration of how legal obligations can sometimes pop up, even without any explicit agreement being made.
It really makes you think. Imagine your neighbor watches you build something that clearly benefits them too, and they just say nothing.
And then later, boom, they might actually be legally required to pay for part of it.
It sounds counterintuitive, doesn't it? How can just being quiet create a binding contract?
But this case, Davy Caton, it's all about a brick wall built on a property line and, yeah, a neighbor who kept quiet. It really sets the foundation for understanding implied contracts. So our mission today is basically to unpack this case. We want to understand how that silence, that seemingly passive acceptance, can actually turn into a legal duty to pay up.
Okay, let's get into it. What actually happened between Mr. Day and Mr. Caton?
So at its core, it's a dispute between two landowners. You have Day, owning lot 29, and Caton with a lot right next door, number 27.
All right, and Day decides he wants to build a brick wall.
But here's the key part. He doesn't just build it neatly on his own property.
No, it straddled the boundary line. So part of it was actually on Caton's land.
And Caton absolutely knew this was happening. He wasn't oblivious.
Not at all. He apparently saw the wall going up brick by brick right there on the line.
And here's where it gets really interesting for the legal side of things. While Day is building this wall, Caton says nothing.
Zero objection, just watches it happen.
Then, a bit later, Caton starts developing his own property.
And guess what he uses?
The very wall Day built.
Precisely. He incorporates it into his own building plans or uses it for support. Whatever the specifics were, he definitely utilized it.
So Day, naturally, having built this pretty substantial wall that benefits both properties, especially given where it was built.
Right on the shared boundary.
He reasonably expected Caton to chip in for his share of the cost.
Makes sense, given Caton was now using it too.
But Caton didn't offer to pay. So Day took him to court to try and get half the money back.
Okay, so what was Caton's defense then? Just, I didn't ask for it.
Pretty much. His main point was clear. He never agreed to pay. He emphasized there was no written contract, no handshake deal, no conversation about payment at all.
Nothing explicit whatsoever.
Right. He just flat out denied any kind of agreement to contribute to the cost.
And that denial, that lack of an explicit promise, that's really the crux of the legal fight, isn't it?
Absolutely. It puts the question squarely before the court, the Supreme Judicial Court of Massachusetts in this case.
And the question is, can Caton's silence, combined with the fact that he knew the wall was being built, knew it was partly on his land, and then later benefited from it, can all that imply a contract? Can it make him obligated to pay Day?
It really pushes against the simple idea that you need a clear yes for a contract, doesn't it?
It does. When does just knowing something and, you know, not objecting cross the line into a legal obligation?
But the court, interestingly, said yes. Under certain circumstances, silence can equal agreement.
Yeah, and that's why Davy Caton is such a cornerstone case. The court basically said, look, we need to look beyond just spoken or written words sometimes.
Context matters.
Hugely. In certain situations, passively accepting a clear benefit might just carry legal weight. But, and this is important, it's not like all silence means yes.
Right, that would be chaotic.
Exactly. The law is generally cautious about forcing obligations just based on silence. The specific facts, the relationship, the reasonableness of expectations, those are all crucial.
Okay, so what were those specific circumstances here? What are the key ingredients the court pointed to say, yep, implied contract?
Well, the court laid out a few critical elements. First, Day provided something valuable.
A valuable service, essentially. The brick wall.
Right. Not trivial. A substantial permanent improvement. Definitely valuable. Second, knowledge.
Caton knew. He wasn't surprised later.
Absolutely aware. Knew it was being built. Knew it was on the shared line. No question about that.
Okay. Valuable service, knowledge. What else?
Third, Day's expectation of payment. The court thought it was reasonable for Day to expect compensation.
Especially building on a shared boundary line, right? It wasn't just a gift.
Exactly. The circumstances strongly suggested payment was expected. And crucially, the court believed Caton knew Day expected payment. It wasn't just Day's secret hope.
So the expectation was sort of hanging in the air, reasonably speaking.
Objectively reasonable, yeah. If Day had, say, planted some flowers near the line, maybe the expectation wouldn't be so clear. But a whole brick wall, that's different.
Makes sense. And the final piece.
The failure to object. This is central. Caton had plenty of chances while the wall was going up to say, hey, hold on, I'm not paying for this, or don't build on my land.
But he didn't. He stayed silent.
Throughout the whole construction process.
So it's not just any silence. It's silence when you sort of should have spoken up if you disagreed.
Precisely. That's the legal significance here. Normally, silence doesn't mean acceptance in contract law. You can't just send someone goods they didn't order and bill them if they don't send them back.
Right.
But here, the court reasoned that because Caton knew Day expected payment for this wall, because it directly benefited his property, because it was on their shared boundary, his silence looked a lot like acceptance.
It's like the court is saying, look, you saw this happening. You knew it benefited you. You knew payment was likely expected. You can't just stand by silently and then pretend you owe nothing.
You got it. And this ties into an old legal idea, a Latin maxim. Qui tacet consentire videtur.
Okay, what did that translate to, roughly?
Essentially, he who is silent is seen to consent. Or, maybe more accurately, silence implies consent when there is a duty or opportunity to speak up.
Ah, the duty to speak part is key.
It is. It's not just about being quiet. It's about being quiet when fairness and the context suggest that if you didn't agree, a reasonable person would have said something.
That Latin phrase really does capture it well. It highlights that duty.
For sure. And underneath all of this is a fundamental principle of fairness, preventing unjust enrichment.
Meaning the court didn't want Caton to get a free wall.
Basically, yeah. They didn't want him to be unjustly enriched at Day's expense. It just wouldn't seem fair for Caton to get the benefit of half a wall, use it, and pay nothing, simply because he kept his mouth shut while Day did all the work and spent the money.
Okay, let's try and make this super clear, especially for the law students listening. Maybe a quick hypothetical.
Good idea.
All right, imagine you're sitting on your porch, and somebody you don't know, but who looks like a professional window cleaner, just walks up and starts cleaning your house's windows.
Okay. You didn't hire them.
Nope. But they're clearly doing a job. They've got the squeegee, the bucket. It looks like they expect to be paid. You just sit there, watch them do every single window, and say nothing.
Uh-huh. Getting nice clean windows.
According to the logic in Davey Caton, could your silence there, watching them work, knowing they likely expect payment, getting the benefit, could that imply you agreed to pay them?
That's a great example. And based on this principle, yes, it potentially could. All the elements are arguably there.
Valuable service.
Clean windows. Yep.
Knowledge.
You're watching them do it.
Expectation of payment.
Seems reasonable for a professional cleaner.
Failure to object.
You sat there silently. It fits the pattern. Now, obviously, real cases depend on exact facts, but the principle applies.
And this principle from Davey Caton, it wasn't just about walls.
Yeah.
Right? It's had broader implications.
Oh, definitely. It informs how courts look at implied agreements in lots of areas, service contracts, sometimes even partnership dealings, though, again, the specific facts always matter intensely.
Justice Devens wrote the opinion, right?
Yeah.
Were there any key lines that really summed up the court's thinking?
Yes, a couple of really good ones. He wrote, if a party voluntarily accepts valuable services, a promise to pay may be inferred.
Voluntarily accepts, even through silence and inaction in this context.
Exactly. Caton didn't shout, yes, build it. But his conduct, his knowing acceptance of the benefit without protest, was seen as voluntary acceptance.
And the other quote.
The other one really hits the fairness aspect. Silence is consent only when fairness demands it.
Oh, okay. So it's not automatic.
Not at all. It reinforces that this isn't some technical loophole. It's an equitable principle. Silence equals consent only when letting the silent party benefit without paying would be, well, unfair. The court's looking for justice in the situation.
So wrapping this up for, say, a first-year law student listening, what's the big practical takeaway from Davey Caton? Forget the wall for a second. What's the lesson?
I think the main lesson is, don't assume contracts only happen with signatures or handshakes. Be alert to situations where conduct, including silence, can create real legal obligations.
And that pattern you mentioned earlier.
Yeah, the new benefited didn't object pattern. If you see that combination of factors, it should set off a little alarm bell.
Red flag for a potential implied contract.
Exactly. It's a powerful reminder that contract law looks at the whole picture, actions, inactions, context, reasonable expectations, not just the explicit words used or not used.
It really shows how the law tries to reflect, you know, common sense and fairness sometimes.
It does. It's trying to prevent people from strategically using silence to get something for nothing when they really should know better.
Okay, so to recap our deep dive, Davy Caton teaches us that, yes, sometimes silence plus knowledge of a benefit plus a failure to object when you reasonably should have
can indeed equal an implied contract, an obligation to pay.
It definitely makes you think, doesn't it? Maybe as you go through your day, or especially as you continue your legal study,
start noticing those moments. When might silence, yours or someone else's, actually mean something more? When might it carry real legal weight?
Yeah, when does just not saying anything actually imply agreement? It's a fascinating place where law, human behavior, and that idea of fairness all meet.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks for joining us for this deep dive into silence and implied contracts.